This morning we celebrate Father's Day, a specific day in recognition of our earthly fathers for the sacrifices and leading. But we know that we are to honor our parents every day, as commanded by our Lord God, and that this commandment comes with a blessing that it would go long with our days, and that they would be a blessing from God. Children are to honor their parents so that they, by first honoring our Father in heaven, and receive that blessing. But the parent-child relationship is two-way, as we all know. For parents are to instruct their children in love and to lead them in godly living, to nurture and foster an environment so they will shun evil and seek good, and that at a young age they would know to make the hope of the Lord, so that they would make that decision to live for the Lord and to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. This morning, for scripture, I just had one verse, but I'll cite a few others. Proverbs 19, verse 18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." Now, the Bible often speaks of chastening in the father-child relationship because it is modeled after our Heavenly Father and we as his children. Our Father's chastening is not out of anger, but out of love, which is what our society today gets wrong so often. So often they don't want to chasten their children or discipline them in any way and allow them to do as they please, and then they have no structure and don't seem to choose good from evil. They blend them all together. Or, in the other case, fathers will discipline the children out of their anger, which is wrong as well, for you're supposed to be doing it out of love that they would grow to know the truth. Psalm 38, verse 1, David writes, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure." Jeremiah also wrote similarly in Jeremiah 10, verse 24, when he wrote, "O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." See, if God was to judge us in his anger, we would certainly be brought to nothing. We would be completely destroyed. It would be final judgment, which he has reserved to the end of time for those who receive to accept his mercy now while he freely gives it, that hope. Likewise, earthly fathers are not to chasten or act out of anger, for that is wrong and sinful as well. The next proverb, in after Proverbs 19, verse 18, in verse 19, it says, "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again." Meaning a man given to his wrath will continue to pour it out time and time again. Just as any sin, it will never be satisfied and only increase unless we humble ourselves before the Lord and ask him to deliver us out of it, to give us that strength, and then to follow after him. The word chasten is not just about discipline. It's about instructing, correcting, teaching, to lead by example, as our Lord Jesus has done for us, the perfect example. For in doing so, there is hope. The word hope used here in the Hebrew means tikvah, or is tikvah. Now, you may have heard the Jewish national anthem before sung, and it's called HaTikvah, the hope. The word hope used here means expectation, something you are longing for. But the literal sense, the literal meaning, is rope. Now, you may wonder what the association of hope and a rope is, other than just rhyming. Well, you can think of the account of Rahab, when she had guarded the two spies of Israel that had come into the land to spy out the promised land, and they had come into Jericho, and Rahab, a godly woman, recognized these men and hid them and protected them and sent them on their way. And in response, they promised to protect her and her household. And what was the sign to signify her house? It was a red rope in her window. And I think the red or scarlet rope is of significance, the color. It's as a sign, just as in Passover, a blood covering for that household, and pointing towards Jesus as our blood covering for those who had put their faith and trust in him. The hope of deliverance. And it starts with godly instruction and understanding of God's word, which should first come from our parents. In so doing, a child learns the truth of the Lord and will be better equipped to accept that hope of deliverance, that the Lord would spare us from his wrath, which leads to death. A practical example and application of God's love for his children are found throughout the Bible, but especially in the way he treated Israel. In the Old Testament, we often read of their disobedience and how God would often chasten them to bring them back into obedience, to return back to them. And the prophet Jeremiah, he was one such man that was sent ahead to proclaim that that Judah would go into captivity of Babylon for their ungodliness, that there would be a time of chastening. But although there was a time of chastening, there was hope. Hope was always provided. And there is an encouragement of Jeremiah in 29 verses 11 to 13. In Jeremiah 29 verses 11 to 13, he writes, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." That expected end, that's that same word, tikva, the hope, that there would be hope in this time. "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart." Fathers are to chasten, instruct, and lead their children, to encourage them in the hope of the Lord. And children are to honor their parents. Proverbs 20, verse 20 warns us, "Whosoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out into obscure darkness." Our parents are never perfect, just as we as children are never perfect. And yet it is perfectly right to honor our parents and to honor our Heavenly Father in doing so. We are to honor and respect them as God has put in order the families. And the Lord of hope gives us the promise of salvation and eternity through Jesus our Lord. I'll close with the third epistle of John and verses 2 to 4. 3 John verses 2 to 4, in which I think he's addressing the church, but it maybe is a prayer, a good prayer for godly fathers and all of us. In verse 2, he writes, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper to be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when thy brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." May that be our prayer now and always.